Good afternoon. Welcome to Art Speak Radio. This is Maria Vasquez Boyd on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in today or listening online at kkfi.org. So, yay, we love that you're here, and I love being here with you. Today's show, we're going to, my friend and colleague, good friend John Todd, who is host and producer of Under the Radar. We talk quite a bit together, and we decided that perhaps we should do a collaborative program about suicide and prevention and begin a conversation about that here in the studio at KKFI because, you know, we're all about the community and we serve the community. So together we worked separately on our show about suicide and suicide prevention to, you know, share with our audience. So today my guests are Marcia Epstein. I also have Bonnie and Mickey Suede. And in the second half of the hour, we'll have Kian Byrne in. He's a musician here in town. And so we're going to bring some good energy into the studio throughout this hour and have a discussion about suicide prevention, and live music by Kian Byrne. So we're going to start with a recorded interview with Marcia Epstein. And, folks, I'm still working on my recordings out of the studio, so there you go. But I want to tell you that Marcia Epstein is a longtime member of the American Association of Suicidology. She is a survivor of suicide loss and a social worker who specializes in suicide prevention and bereavement support. Her home is in Lawrence, Kansas, where she served as a volunteer, then as director for 34 years of Headquarters Counseling Center, which serves Kansas on the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. She now works privately, specializing in helping people reduce the risk of suicide and providing support for people who have lost loved ones to suicide. In other words, she helps people learn the skills for life worth living. She does this through individual and family work, as well as support groups for people affected by suicide. In Lawrence, she has been facilitating Healing After Suicide, which is a support group for survivors, since the mid-1990s. And she's been facilitating Staying Alive, which is a support group for people living with thoughts, self-harm attempts since 2015. A new support group for family friends of people living with thoughts, self-harm attempts is in the works. Now, the groups are open to people from the Kansas City area. Epstein is a member of the steering committee of NAMI, Douglas County, Kansas. She is also the host of a podcast and events at the intersection of art and mental health. So here is the interview with Marcia Epstein. I'm here talking to Marcia Epstein here in Lawrence, Kansas. And, you know, it's really great to meet you. I'm such a big fan. It's so happy to see you in person.
Yeah, me too. And it's great because I don't know how I found Art Speak, but once I did, it's like, well, I listen on my computer, and we have a lot of friends in common.
Yeah, we do.
That
we
connectedness do. Just has been growing and growing.
Yeah, so tell us about yourself, because I know you are not only a therapist and suicide prevention specialist, I should say, but you also have podcasts yourself and a lot of different groups. So let's talk about that.
Yeah, well, I just want to mention briefly, because there's so many things we could talk about.
Oh,
but I have a podcast called Talk With Me. ME are my initials, so that's kind of the easy way to do that. And it started and then has morphed into all my guests are artists. They are from all over the United States and more, which is fun. Uh-huh. Somebody who's from Uganda and somebody who's from Australia, who was like 3 o'clock in the morning his time when we were recording.
Wow.
And it's about that really personal side of art. Mm-hmm. I really believe that art saves lives. Mm-hmm. I really believe that. I believe there's communication happens, there's connection that happens. And connection is part of what saves lives. Mm-hmm. Feeling like we belong, feeling valued. Those things happen when people experience art, both by creating it and by sharing it and by being, in the third way, by being in the audience when they are hearing somebody or seeing something that really resonates with their experience. And very literally, in my background in suicide prevention, I know that two of the three things that are what will save lives are when people believe that they're valued mm-hmm. as opposed to feeling like a burden, mm-hmm. and when they believe they belong instead of yeah. feeling isolated. And granted, we can't make somebody else. Okay.
We're good.
We can't make somebody else feel belonged, feel like they belong, you know, but we can offer that and we can connect. And it happens a lot. And I think for me, it started for me really thinking about it when I heard artists say, this work saved my life.
Yeah. You know? I've had a number of artists say that to me, whether it's writing, visual, performance,
right.
music, and that sort of right. thing. But as a suicide prevention professional, let's talk about how you got started in the field,
yeah.
if we could.
Yeah. I fell into it because it was comfortable to volunteer at the center here in Lawrence, Kansas, mm-hmm. when I came as a young undergrad and learned about the center because a friend of mine had been helped. Mm-hmm. And so I volunteered. I was eager to do that. I got really involved. And then later was... what are we doing? Later was hired as a director. Director stayed 2 years, but I had challenges and opportunities, and we kept doing new things, learning. Mm-hmm. The world was changing, and our services needed to change. So I stayed for a very long time, and then since then continue to do the work on my own with the podcast, with support groups, with retreats, with individual and family work. And I will add that in my work in suicide prevention, in a lot of ways, that also opened me up to being helpful to people who are trans and gender nonconforming, not because that is me, but because anybody who's in a population that is really disparaged and there's lots of social messaging that's negative is naturally going to be at risk, both for those personal things where they end up coping with self-harm or thoughts of suicide, mm-hmm. even dying of suicide. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's like, okay, that's part of my umbrella, too. So I'm here, I'm this white cisgender woman doing these things, like, and heterosexuals, like, so white? It's like, it just fits. And it fits from, I realized way later, it fits from my background. My background of being the child of first-generation Americans, my maternal grandparents who came from Russia, were so appreciative of the life they built here. I mean, they didn't speak English when they came here. Mm-hmm. My grandfather had no education. He became eventually, he was a major banker in Kansas City. And part of his thing was payback, payback, payback. Yeah. He provided scholarships for people who went to things like medical schools. My grandmother was always sending clothing, raising donations, all kinds of things, making quilts out of the clothing that wasn't good and sending quilts. I mean, that's where I learned that you do back.
Giving, give back.
So, and growing up was hard. My mom was such a wonderful person. I mean, anybody ever met her loved her, and she loved them. Mm-hmm. But she had struggles, and her relationship partners, bad choices, and so as kids, there was a lot of hard stuff going on when we were little. So it was easy for me to connect with people because I wasn't, those intense emotions weren't distant for me like they are for some people. Mm-hmm. So that's a long story of getting involved, staying involved, knowing it's what I need to do.
And you know, I thank you for the services that you've provided and helped people because, you know, it's not always easy to say, you know what, I need help. I need to join this group or, you know, I need, you know, some assistance in my life, whatever that may be.
Yeah. It's difficult for a lot of reasons, including some of the things we learn in our families from culture and that affects us, all kinds of things. So there's a challenge about getting help. So part of for me is that it needs to be things that really help people know they're going to be able to have life that they enjoy. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what it's about.
Yeah, that's really what it is.
It's not just, I mean, it's not, don't kill yourself. It's about how can we help you so that you have a life that's rich and full. And yeah, it has ups and downs, but you're glad you're alive, you know. Mm-hmm. And right now, people can't see us, but I'm wearing a T-shirt that says Stay. It's from a project called LiveThroughThis.org, which is this beautiful art. It's photographs and interviews with people who've attempted suicide, and they are sharing their stories. And Desiree Stage is the person who created this. Mm-hmm.
Is this Nashville?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. She is a survivor of suicide attempt. She was doing rock and roll photography, but her interest was the stuff about suicide and where are the attempt survivors? Because she knew she couldn't be the only one.
Yeah.
And this has blossomed. I think there are about 150 people on the site right now. A person I met through my connection with poetry and hosting a slam in 2014, C. Loof, who is a person in Omaha, Nebraska, is one of the people who's on that site. There are people from all over, people with lots of different experiences. So the thing is that we need to talk openly, but we also need to help people develop skills, you know? Sometimes we don't know, what am I supposed to do when I feel like this, you know?
Well, and that was something that I was going to ask you is that, you know, if a friend or a relative or someone comes to you and you recognize, or perhaps they say, I'm really depressed.
Yeah.
I am full of despair and hopelessness. And,
or they look crappy and you wonder, what's going on?
Yeah.
You know,
there's so many different factors.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, where do you begin to help, you know, an individual?
I think as friends, what we do is we pay attention to each other. And when we notice, we stop. I used to say, stop, look, listen.
Yeah.
Because we know that kind of a phrase of, you know, like before you cross the street. And my point was to really look at people when you talk to them and really listen to them. Mm-hmm. And listening is something that's super hard when you've care about somebody because you feel their pain and you think you can magically take it away. And so instead of listening, you say, why don't we do this? That'll make things better. Mm-hmm. I remember in early days, there was a little film that we used with kids in suicide prevention education in classes, in health classes where they had a mental health unit. And one of the lines was this kid who is really struggling and he's talking to another friend and his friend says, why don't you just smile? And the kid who's struggling is like, that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard, you know? But that's kind of what we do. Let's go get a beer. Let's go to a movie. Yeah. Let's go hear some music. You know, take your mind off it. Well, it doesn't go away. So as friends, we need to learn to sit with people in pain. And then there's like the next step thing, like what needs to happen. There are crisis services that are available. Mm-hmm. Crisis text line is one of my favorites because texting is so much more comfortable for some people than voice.
It's so much more, I think, anonymous. And that, I mean, at least a voice, there's that sort of human, you know, connection that maybe
you're not ready for. But it's like you get to do either way. So crisis text line, the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline is the phone number that a lot of people know. Mm-hmm. For queer youth, including they define up to about 24, the Trevor Project has phone and chat and also text. Veterans Crisis Line is part of the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. The Trans Lifeline that's staffed by trans people, trans and gender nonconforming people. You know, so we have these different things. And then some more, I mean, there's lots of stuff online, lots of online community things. So people, you know, we want people to be connected with crisis supports. Mm-hmm. But to me, once we are helping somebody through the really crisis moment, we're not doing enough if we don't also help them figure out what's gonna help in the bigger picture. Yeah. For some people, and that gets back to art, honestly, for some people, the best expression they're going to be able to do for themselves, to be true to themselves, I'll just say, okay, so a young woman who I met who was a dance student at KU, and we were talking about issues, including she'd had two recent losses of really close people to her by suicide and all this stuff, and, you know, we talked and I said, you know, your way is through dance, it's through movement. She ended up being the coordinator of like what turned into 15 dance performance pieces by different sets of dance students at KU that were all about hope and healing and working through things. And they did it through dance. You know, we did do a little bit of, you know, I came in, the woman, Michelle Hefner-Hayes, who's in charge of the dance program, is somebody I've known. And we came in and we did this joint workshop where she did movement exercises with them. And then we did a little bit of talking. You know, so it's like there are different ways people help. That was a long story, but it's real. Not everybody's a talker, you know.
Well, and I realize that, you know, not everyone realizes that, you know, well, their strength, and that with that, you know, there can be a healing through the art, through the dance, and that sort of thing. Yes. And sometimes I think we just sort of overlook that because we need to fix this with a one-on-one counselor or whatever, and the more sort of ways that we've grown up knowing about.
Right. So my thing is, I do believe in this thing called safety planning, mm-hmm. which sounds sort of like, oh yeah, right. But what it is, it's like individually identifying things about yourself. So it's a very personal thing. And the most effective ones are going to happen when you sit down with somebody as a helper who's going to do this with you and you review it. But it's like, what are your signals that you're having a hard time? Mm-hmm. And it could be that I'm going to go get blasted. You know, it could be that I'm going to go look for somebody to have sex with. It could be, you know, whatever that unhealthy behavior is. What are my clues? What are my physical sensations, emotions, thoughts? What kinds of situations tend to get me there? Learning about that, really personal. It comes up in conversation sometimes with people that I'm talking to. They'll say, you know, one of the things I notice is I haven't taken a shower in 4 days. Mm-hmm. And that's not really me, but that's me and when I'm doing bad. Yeah. So you learn your things. And then you look at what really makes a difference to you that you can do totally alone. Mm-hmm. So, excuse me, for somebody that may be art, if they're an artist, for somebody that may be their certain scents, and so I take a bath with that soap and I burn those candles. You know, it could be a lot of, but it's what works for you. It's not, here's the list of things for self-care. It's like, sure. What are your things? One of my favorite things is walking barefoot on the cross-country paths at Haskell Indian Nation University.
Oh, wow.
And it's the barefoot, and it's hearing the birds and whatever plants are growing, the scents, and it's that nature walk thing. That's that's the best for me.
I'm going to steal that one. I like that one.
You know, so you think that's part of the safety plan. Sure. What are your things? And then it's like, who are your people? Where can you be around people? For some people, you know, I'm talking to somebody, it's like, you know, when you go home alone, that's when things escalate. When you recognize the signs, so you're social. What's your social thing? Well, sometimes I go to 12-step meetings. Sometimes it's not the time for that. It's like, what would happen if you went to a coffee shop? Yeah. So you would not be going home alone, but you were around people and kind of sitting and giving yourself some time. You know, but it's like, let's figure out those things. And then, you know, as you work through the different steps, that if this didn't work, try this.
Yeah, you want to know about the mental health stuff. You know, you want to know if there's something that you know, these are my people that I call, whether it's the crisis line, whether you have a therapist, whatever. You know, so you do these steps. And also, one of the things that literally saves lives is making it more difficult to have those dangerous things around us.
Well, you know, that's something I was going to say. I mean, being surrounded by people, you also have to recognize who the healthy people are to bring into your circle.
Too. Yeah.
I mean, I think there's some preventative sort of things that have to take place there. That you know, who is healthy? Who's going to help me? You know, uplift me and that sort of thing. Because there's some pretty toxic people that you know you may not want to be around during. During certain times and situations.
Yeah. So it's about real life. It's about how do we live more safely and with joy, you know?
Yeah. All with joy. We have that.
That's a big thing.
We have that,
People who work with me know, I'm always saying, you know, like, make sure you notice the highlights. Because in every day there's fluctuation. Even in our worst days, there are certain things, you know? And maybe it's something as little as, you know, you went outside and you realize those stars really are beautiful. And you know, you have that moment of connection with nature.
Mm-hmm.
So, gosh, there's so much we could say, but you know, we have lots of things that need to happen in this hour.
And this is only the beginning, Marcia, because I would love for you to come to Kansas City. You know, maybe who knows what's going to come out of that. I mean, we'll not only have an interview and discussion, but maybe we can do something for the community. So, you know, open up just a dialogue, a conversation.
Sure. There's some great things going on in Kansas City. Yeah. There are things that I'm doing with, I have a support group for loss and in the Kansas City area, and even you'll find my group on there, SAS, MOCAN, Suicide Awareness Survivor Support, Missouri, Kansas City. There are lots of groups for suicide bereavement. I have a Facebook page for the group that is for people with suicide thoughts and attempts, but it's got good stuff for everybody, and okay. It's called Stayin' Alive, like the Bee Gees song.
I love that.
and I think the finding it on Facebook, if you write Stayin' Alive Lawrence, Kansas.
Okay.
There are people from the Kansas City area, from the Topeka area, and other places who are part of that group. It meets in Lawrence. And there's a retreat on July 28th.
Oh, good.
Thriving while living with suicide, that is specifically for people with any type of experience with suicide, loss, their own struggles, supporting somebody else at their time of struggles. And you can find a link to that on the Stayin' Alive page, too. So, you know, I really appreciate being able to talk.
Well, you know what? I am happy to meet you again here in Lawrence, Kansas. It's been too long since, you know, we first spoke. But I want to invite you back to ArtSpeak Radio anytime.
Thanks.
You're in the neighborhood.
When I'm not kayaking in Colorado.
Oh, I love it. Oh, by the way, I'm staying here. While you're in Colorado, I'll be right here. So, thank you so much,
thank
my friend.
You, yeah.
It's been a joy.
Wonderful. Thank you.
And we're going to be right back with ArtSpeak Radio after this. You're listening to ArtSpeak Radio. This is Maria Vasquez-Boyd every Wednesday on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. And we want to say thank you so much for Marcia Epstein for taking time for the interview. Up next, I have a lovely couple here in the studio, Bonnie Suede and Mickey Suede. And they're both with the Suicide Awareness Survivor Support, which believes the public must be educated about suicide. And I want to say that drawing on personal tragedy, Bonnie Suede started Suicide Awareness Survivor Support Missouri and Kansas, which is a nonprofit support group for those affected by a suicide. Along with offering support, the group also organizes a walk each year to raise funds for the education, awareness, and grief support groups in the Kansas City community. Bonnie is an Overland Park resident and has facilitated suicide prevention groups and suicide survivor support groups, also spending time visiting the Lansing State Prison to facilitate stop violence groups. So welcome, Bonnie and Mickey.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Great. Now, how long has your group been around? SAS/mocan.com is the website. How long has the group been around?
It's been around 14 years.
Uh-huh.
And it started the year after we lost our son, Brett, to suicide. We got involved in starting a support group and realized very quickly that support groups need some money. And
yeah.
So we decided to start the group, and we've been going strong ever since.
Wow. And, you know, I know that you offer various steps, I believe 5 steps that you've taken to make sure that suicide is everyone's business. Do you want to share those with us?
Well, we believe in prevention. We believe in education. Mm-hmm. We believe in working with other groups that are interested in suicide. And we believe that you can't keep it a secret, that
right.
You have to talk about it.
Do you think there's been a stigma that's been attached to suicide or mental illness and that?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And there's still a stigma, but it's getting better. Mm-hmm. It's definitely getting better.
But you feel people need to talk and come together and support one another, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Because whether it's affected your family or your friends directly, someone knows someone, you know, that has been affected by suicide and the aftermath of that.
Yes, definitely.
So, yeah, and I'm sorry for your loss. I know that with this, it's been somewhat of a healing opportunity for you with his suicide?
Yes,
and creating
it has.
This group?
Yeah. I think that, you know, helping others has also helped us.
Yeah, yeah. And I want to mention that Bonnie Suede and Mickey Suede, both here on ArtSpeak Radio, you also have a blog that people can read from the website, the sasmocan.com website, right? And we'll talk about that.
Well, I decided that I like to write, and so I started writing, and we just added it to our blog. And I don't write every week, every month. I write when the mood hits.
Yeah, yeah. And with this website, what will people find at the SAS Suicide Awareness Survivor Support website? What will they find there?
Well, they'll find resources. They will find support groups in the area. They will find events that are happening in the area. And they will also find books that they can check out or find on Amazon or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's just, we do have some other links to some other agencies that also deal with suicide prevention. So it's pretty comprehensive.
And Mickey, thank you for being here too. Mickey Suede is Bonnie's husband. And so what is your role with the organization too?
Well, when we lost Brett, Bonnie wanted to make something positive come out of his death. She then got us trained to facilitate a support group, and I've been active with that. And over the years, it's amazing how things have changed. In the beginning, the support group, if we had two or three people show up for a meeting, it was a lot. Lately, we've had as many as 34 people at the last meeting. It's a lot for a support group, but we make it work. And in the beginning, you seldom found men. It seems like men handled it better or wanted people to think that they were handling it better. And now there are more men coming out and seeing the need to talk about it, talk about the loss. And it's good for them. It helps.
Well, you know, any time you can sort of express yourself or your sorrow or your anger or whatever feelings you're feeling, I think coming together and making those, you know, putting it out in the open and sharing with others, I think helps one another. Where are the meetings at?
Our meetings are at Shawnee Mission Hospital. Okay. We meet on the second and fourth Tuesday of every month at 6:30 till around 8:15.
Yeah. If you just tuned in, I'm talking to Mickey Suede and Bonnie Suede. We're talking about Suicide Awareness Survivor Support, which has a website, sass-mocan.com. So it's both on the Missouri and Kansas side, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And I noticed that, well, you brought in some flyers today, because not only are you there as a support group for others in the community, but there's also a remembrance walk. And can we talk about that?
Sure. The remembrance walk is a walk for people that are affected by suicide, maybe a friend of a friend. It could be a child. It might be anyone that has been affected by suicide. And it's a great morning, because you get to network with other survivors, because survivors tend to sometimes not tell anybody or are afraid of the stigma. So this unites them together, and they walk. It's not a race. It's a 5K walk in the park, so anybody can do it. And we have Matt Stewart from Channel 4. He's always our MC. And we have other tables and things there of other agencies that are do things with suicide. And we have usually a song. Somebody sings a song, and we have a balloon release. So it's a very nice morning to be together and to honor your loved one.
I love that. It's very uplifting. It's that celebration of life, in a sense. The Remembrance Walk, it's the 15th annual. So that takes place at Luce Park at 51st and Warnell, and that's September 9th at 9 a.m. And I love that it's not competitive.
Yes.
it is literally a walk in the park.
Yeah, I love that.
And people that don't feel like they can walk around the park, they can walk through the Rose Garden, or just sit around in the pavilion and talk while other people walk.
What's not to love about Loose Park?
Exactly.
You know, there's so much energy, and it's it's just a terrific, a beautiful park just in the middle of, the city-ish. There's upcoming events, Hope for the Holidays, which takes place November 17th. And then the following year, you have the Healing Day, in April. Mm-hmm. But people can find more information about this or register for the walk through
our
website.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And would you share that with us again?
Yes, it's www.sass-mokan.com.
Now, if folks don't have access to the internet, because I know, for one reason or another, not everyone has it. We shouldn't assume. How can people get a hold of you?
Well, they can call, and our number is 913-681-3050, and let us know that they're interested, and then I can help them, or Mickey can help them from there.
I love the service, the service that you offer the community, because it's so, so needed, in this time and any time, really, for the families and survivors and all that. Would you like to share a sweet memory about your son with us before we leave?
Well, Brett was, he was kind of an unusual guy. And I think the funniest memory that I have is that when he was about 9 or 10, he went out into our cul-de-sac, and he collected tzedakah, which is money for, for the needy. And we do that at our temple. And so he went around and he collected money, and one of the neighbors happened to say to me, "Well, Bonnie, your son is so good. He's collecting money." And he was really collecting it for himself. And so that's just always stayed with me.
That's wonderful. I love it. I love it. And Mickey, Bonnie, thank you so very much for coming on the radio, and we wish you well with the Remembrance Walk.
I
believe you offer a valuable, service to the community. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You bet. And we're going to be back with ArtSpeak Radio after this. And I'm Maria Vasquez Boyd. You're listening to ArtSpeak Radio on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Yes. With you here every Wednesday and noon to 1. And we love that you've tuned in or listening online at kkfi.org. Here we go. We have super talented and handsome Ken Byrne here in the studio. He is a multi-instrumentalist known most as the drummer for the internationally recognized Celtic rock band The Elders, which releases the new self-titled debut album. Good God, I can't talk. Up and Down. That's The Elders?
That's my song.
That's
my
yours. Song, yeah. Up and Down. Yeah. Okay. Yes. Byrne's single, Sing That Song, is currently featured on NPR stations nationwide and available on all digital platforms. Welcome, Kian.
Thank you.
I've heard that you're just so all over the place with The Elders and Hilux and New Rhythm. And what else am I missing?
Hilux has been picking up a lot.
Yeah.
New Rhythm's been around for a while. We haven't played in a little bit, but we've got a lot of friends that have been asking us to get back there. So,
yeah, that's great. Well, and recently you were on the local showcase, I believe, with KC mm-hmm. Roush a couple of weeks ago, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you performed live.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as a multi-instrumentalist, drums, mm-hmm. bass, violin, mm-hmm. and mandolin. Did I see you with the mandolin?
Yeah.
Am I leaving anything else out?
Some guitars, bass, stringed instruments. Violin was my first instrument.
Violin, it's a difficult instrument.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fun. Mm. My little boy plays as well.
And please mention your little boy's name.
Yeah.
Hello.
Olin. He's in the studio here with us.
Olin, do you want to say hello? Maybe. We'll see. You're going to perform live for us. What are you going to perform?
I'll play I'll play Up and Down.
Okay.
Yeah.
Terrific. Wow, that's beautiful. I really like that.
Thank you.
I really like that. How can people find your music?
I've got Kian Byrne, KianByrne, Bandcamp.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's a song up on Spotify and iTunes. The rest of the record is scheduled to be released and available through all iTunes and Apple Music, anything, the beginning of August, August 3rd.
So. Now, you've been immersed in music for a very long time, haven't you?
Mm-hmm.
Because your father is part of the Elders, mm-hmm. a founding member?
Yeah, yeah. They were a band probably a year and a half, 2 years before he joined, but they've done it for 20 years together, so.
Yeah. We were very fortunate to have them perform for our 30th anniversary at the Folly, at the Folly last month, so that was a real treat.
Yeah.
Now, your son, is he learning music, too? Is he learning to play?
Yeah, he's actually taking violin lessons from my old teacher when I was little.
Wow.
And Mary Garcia, who's a part of the Kansas City Symphony here.
That's great.
It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
My mom loves to drop him off at lessons, like she's dropping me off.
Oh my gosh, I bet.
It's a full circle thing.
Well, and I think violin is really a difficult instrument to really master, you know.
Yeah.
Speaking of your mom, I'm going to show you something. Several years ago, you performed with Making Movies at Midland for Fill the Truck.
Yeah.
Fill this truck, right?
Yeah.
And I'm going to show this to you.
Oh, yeah.
It's a picture your mother gave me. My daughter, my favorite daughter, performed with Juan Carlos Turan during one of the songs, and they performed a Huasteco, I think, dance. So, and she sent that to me.
Nice.
I've had that for a few years, and I just wanted to share
that. I love that. With you. Yeah, that's my family's mariachi, some of the mariachi costumes and the uniforms that they have.
So you're well versed in a lot of different genres, right?
Uh huh, yeah.
Terrific. You know, and I just have to say, Billy Gilly says hi from the Callahans.
Awesome.
He's listening, you know, listens every week, so thank you for that.
Love the Callahans.
Yeah. So, do you want to play another song for us? Do you need
sure.
to tune up? Or?
Yeah, I can.
Yeah, yeah. And, yeah, anytime you're ready. Oh, man, that's one of my favorites. It really is.
Thank you.
If you just tuned in to ArtSpeak Radio, I'm talking to Kian Byrne, who's a current member of the Elders, Hilux, New Rhythm, and he has a self-titled debut album, Up and Down, and he just sang that song, which is currently featured on NPR stations nationwide and available on all digital platforms. So I mentioned that you do play such a wide range of music, and I want to tell people that on Friday, Free Friday, is with Hilux. You're going to be performing with Hilux, right?
That'll be fun, yeah. Down at Grinders.
Grinders, uh-huh.
Yeah.
And that's at 417 East 18th Street, and it's all ages. Live music, it's Free Friday with Hilux, July 20th at 6 p.m., right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Blankets and chairs, and bring your kids.
You know, someone had mentioned something, or maybe perhaps you did, a chair policy. There's a chair policy. What's the chair policy? What is the chair policy?
I don't know. Yeah.
Just bring a chair, I guess.
Bring a nicer chair next to the person.
Yeah. So, you know, as I mentioned, you play a lot of different kinds of music, but you also have time to create and write songs or music for yourself that you enjoy. How do you find the time to do all of this? And raise.
Yeah. Little man.
Yeah.
You know, with the writing songs for myself, I have stuff, demos and, you know, pieces of notebook paper from 5 years ago.
That, is that when you began writing? Or
yeah, a few years ago. Kind of more for what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's some little idea can sit around for a couple years and then I'll think about it again and it'll be the right time.
So. Yeah, you just kind of have to incubate it, right?
Yeah.
But you play with a lot of different people and in all these different bands. Hilux is a soul reggae funk sort of dance band.
Yeah.
And one of the members that I recognize is Julia Hale. Right?
Yep.
Yeah, from the Goodfoot.
Yeah. Julia Hale, actually from the Goodfoot. Tim Braun on guitar and Nick Howell as well. On he plays keys in the band, but he's a trumpet player as well. So.
And with the other bands, Elders and Rhythm, do you have any upcoming gigs that you want to share with our listeners?
The Elders have got, you can get on eldersmusic.com. Mm-hmm. This will be the last year that the band will be touring. Mm-hmm. And so all the local gigs, we'll have Irish Fest coming up in September.
Mm-hmm. You just came back from the Colorado one, didn't
mm-hmm.
you?
Yeah, we were just at Colorado Irish Fest.
I love Colorado.
I do too.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. We have a lot of great fans and friends and... the band, you know, before I was in the Elders, mm-hmm. there are people in Colorado specifically, just because we experienced this past weekend, where there are girls that are 21 years old that have gone to the gigs with their family.
Oh my gosh.
And now they're 21 and they've been there for 20 years.
That's crazy.
So it's a big, big part of everybody's lives.
And the New Rhythm, anything?
New Rhythm?
Yeah.
We're working on some new recordings, and we'll get something towards the end of the summer.
You know, I did have to ask you that. There was, back in the day, Pat's Blue Rhythm.
Absolutely.
Is that
it's definitely, the new... yeah, it's definitely...
the newer version.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, an honor to them.
Yeah, because, man, I used to go down and listen to them at Parody Hall, which, is no longer around, but, that was the place to see them and hear them. Do you want to say hello on the radio?
Sit down and say hi.
Yeah. Olin, you should have brought your violin. Could have been fun. That
Next
could have
time.
Been fun, yeah. do you have another song that you want to sing for us,
sure,
perform for us? Because, I love that this debut album, Up and Down, is available, and it's just wonderful to hear your music.
Thank you.
Yeah. Olin, you want to come over here with me? He's like, no, I'm going to scoot this chair around. I love that. I love having children in the studios. You know,
he had to drive me here.
Wow, I like that. I really like that. Kian Byrne, will you promise to come back to the studio and play live for us?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And bring your son back with his violin.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be a short hop between the time when you'll perform together, because it just happens that way. Mm-hmm. Life just happens that way, right?
I know.
Terrific. And we want to wish you much success on Up and Down, your self-titled debut album. You know,
thank you.
It's great. And, we'll see you on Friday at Crossroads KC with Hilux. And again, that's at 417 East 18th Street, Kansas City, Missouri. That begins at 6 p.m. this Friday, and it's all ages. Chair policy. Don't know. I just have to bring that up because it's just so fun to say that. And kianbyrne.com is your website, and KIANBYRNE, right?
Yep.
And it is on the website and our Facebook page, ArtSpeak Radio, and, of course, the KKFI website. Thank you so much for coming in. Please
Thank
come in
anytime.
And give your mother a hug for me.
Absolutely,
I adore Kathy Quinn. We love her. Very
Thanks.
Good. Thanks, Olin.
Thank you.
So cute. I want to also say thank you to Marcia Epstein, Bonnie, and Mickey Swade. Thank you so very much for tuning in today. Also, next week, July 25th, can you believe we're almost done with July? Thank God. I'm ready for some snow and some fall leaves and all that. Next week, we're going to have Cheryl Kimmy here in the studio. Also, Imagine That, and Colby Smith will join us. I invite you to stay tuned next for Jeff Harshbarger, and that's Jazz Afternoon. You know, we love our Jeff, so I hope you do tune in. And then following Jeff's show is Old G's Hangout with Groovy Grant. So you don't need to go anywhere. Just listen to 90.1 FM KKFI Kansas City Community Radio. And thank you so much for tuning in, listening online. Like us on Facebook, because we love you. And, I want to say thanks so much. And, honey, I'm coming home.